It's a great day. My name is Chay Brown, the happy entrepreneur, and welcome to the Happy Entrepreneur Show, the number one business development and revenue focused late night show in the country where we are on a mission. And our mission really is to inspire, our mission is to empower, and our mission is to provide you, that's right, you, the hardworking entrepreneur, with all of the resources that are necessary to execute that big vision you have for the people you were called to serve. And on this episode, we have the one and only Siobhan Reed, who's in the building. And she'll be talking about finding harmony and happiness through a purpose-driven business. What's going on, Siobhan? How are you?
Oh, not too much. I am doing wonderful. Couldn't be better. How are you?
Couldn't be better. That's a pretty powerful statement, ladies and gentlemen. She couldn't be better. Well, thanks for showing. We appreciate it. Shout out to Tyran Jackson, who connected us, by the way. Awesome collaborator. So thank him so much. Now, when people look at the topic, at least I do, and it says finding harmony and happiness through a purpose-driven business. It's going to sound crazy, but why are people in business if it's not their purpose and they're unhappy? So I guess the question is, why are there business owners walking around today who are unhappy entrepreneurs? Don't trademark that. We like happy, but unhappy entrepreneurs.
Right. Well, I think it really all boils down to alignment, Jay, because if you are fulfilling a purpose, then it kind of centers around your why and you're always following your North Star and you get the reward and the benefit of knowing that you are serving in the way that you've been called to. And so I would say that the reason why many entrepreneurs may not be happy or those that aren't happy is because they haven't quite aligned to what it is that they're supposed to be doing and how they're supposed to be showing up and serving others.
You know, as you were talking, that's perfect. Thanks so much. Folks are wondering, well, Shay, what in the LL Cool J is purpose these days? I mean, purpose means different things to different people. So you're saying, hey, they got this purpose-driven business. Can we at least get your definition of purpose? I mean, what does it mean? And I know it's going to sound crazy, but what does it even look like these days? Is that a reasonable question? I'm just asking.
I do believe it's a reasonable question to ask. And I would say,
just joking.
Yes. So when I think of purpose, I think about what has been placed on your heart and your spirit to show up and serve as. And in my instance, it's really all about promoting health because I have been part of this whole generational curse where heart disease, obesity, diabetes has been a part of the narrative. And it's my mission to change that. And then also to just foster a fruitful and satisfying lifestyle for the next generation in my family. I come from a low income family and we just haven't been able to generate enough wealth to really be able to prosper. And so the buck stops with me and I am dedicated, committed, and championing this change for the generations to come. So I want to help everyone to realize that, you know, the future starts now. All the decisions you make today really impact what your next year will look like, your next 20 years, and of course, your marginal decade of life.
I love it. And the folks that are watching, just so you're aware, we have a lot of leaders, right? There are some folks are watching leaders in their family, they're leaders in their business, they're leaders in their communities, they're leaders in all type of areas, or they're what I call dualpreneurs. They work a full-time job and they're a full-time entrepreneur. And shout out to all of them that do that, by the way. It's really amazing. My question to you really is, for the person that says, I'm not sure what my purpose is, if you had a chance to ask Siobhan, and we'll get into her background. I know y'all are reading about her bio and seeing how famous she is and all this cool stuff. But if you had to ask her, Shay, what is the one, two, or three things that someone could do to even identify their purpose, because I'm not too sure. It seems like a shift through my life. I'm taking care of the husband, or I'm taking care of the wife. I've got kids. Many of them got kids, and their kids have activities. So they're like, they feel like they're wearing multiple hats. So here's the question. If you had to give, and it's a loaded question, but one, two, or three things that someone could do to try to identify their purpose. Any recommendations?
Absolutely. I am a mom of two Zoomers. I'm a wife. I've worked full time and I'm still working full time, but only in my purpose now. So that's the difference. And I believe it really starts with what's on your heart. If there's something that you feel pulled to do all the time, or you're always constantly thinking about it, then you got to lean into that and see what it's telling you. Maybe it's something in that line. Maybe it's something in a certain industry. Maybe it's something that you really enjoy doing. So I would say first take a look at what it is that you like to do. What are the things that you're really good at? I mean, a lot of times people like myself really good at public speaking, and I never really thought that that would be something that would be a calling upon my life. But my college professor Peggy got the air did though. She looked at me and told me after a speech I gave, "You're going to be a public speaker." And I was like, "Yeah, right. Okay." And then just I've called to do it. It seems like at every turn, I feel like I need to tell the story. And so I've leaned into it and accepted it. And so it's been working for me. I definitely feel like there are some ways for you to just really zero in on what you want to be known for and what makes you feel good. So deep down in your soul, there's something that when you do it, it lights you up. It makes you excited. You're like, "Oh my gosh, I could do this all day. And you wouldn't even have to pay me to do it." That's your jam and that's your thing. So you got to be able to kind of pull it all together. And then even once you identify it, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be easy and you're going to know exactly what to do with it. But if you sit with it and you really own it, then the lines or the stars will align, as they say, and you'll know exactly where you need to be and you'll show up in the places and spaces that you're supposed to be. It'll just happen like divine intervention.
Talking about divine intervention, and thanks for sharing, by the way, and being transparent as well, by the way. Shout out to you, by the way. You're doing a whole lot and you're here smiling and you're here serving. And certainly we appreciate that. You could be spending time with the kids. So thanks so much, by the way. Harmony and happiness. Tell us what you mean by that. You know, I hear happiness, I think on the inside, right? I think it's what's going on inside. But when I hear harmony, I'm not too sure. And maybe it just might be, I might be the only one out there, ladies and gentlemen. So I like to kind of hear a little bit about what harmony means and looks like and how that's related to happiness. Cause I like the two H's, the double alliteration going together. So you right. Got me there.
Of course, Jay. I would love to. So I grew up facing several adverse childhood experiences. Some people know them as ACEs. And so there was like a lot of obstacles that I had to overcome, and at a very young age. And so I had to decide that defeat was not an option and that failure was not an option. And I always thought I didn't belong. And so I felt like an ugly duckling, out of place all the time. And one day I just made a decision, you know, that I was not going to accept this as my reality. And with all those ACEs came this really like a burden of making the right decisions, right? And so upon graduating high school, my cousin Philip gave me a card and it said, "The moment of absolute certainty may never arise. Just make the best decision with what you know and don't look back." And I adopted that as a principle, and it really did something for me. So I really sought out all the information that I could. I'm a lifelong learner, and I always seek to get better at things. And even though my face doesn't change, I have to realize that yes, I do belong, and I am not the ugly duckling, right? And the whole fact and the premise of just realizing that happiness is something that you could possibly choose, I never really looked at it like that. And I would go to church and I would hear the word, and I kind of just started adopting that whole mentality that if I want to be happy, then I am going to be happy. I come from stock that wasn't necessarily happy. And there was a lot of misery that I was around. And so with that being the case, I decided that wasn't what I wanted. And so I really was very calculated with the risks that I took, very calculated with the decisions that I made, because I didn't want to have to face regret someday. And with that, it's just been, you know, a culmination of things coming 360. And as a mom, a working mom, and a wife, you know, it's a lot involved. And I've tried entrepreneurship several times and had to go back to work full time because it was like, oh, I don't know if this is right. I need to, you know, be able to take care of my family. And the moment when I started to lean into the things that were assigned to me as my purpose, things just started to kind of come together a whole lot better. But I would always say there is no such thing as work-life balance. You know, you have the children, you have the business, you have your husband, then you have yourself. And at any point, you're always juggling all those things. And sometimes the husband might get a little bit more. Sometimes you might need a little bit more. Sometimes the children might need a little bit more. But in that process of making it all work, that's where the harmony comes in, because you are aware and you lean into whatever needs the attention and you are intentional about giving each one its proper due.
I love that. And as folks, as we're listening right now, they're probably wondering, gosh, does she have some self-talk? Because a lot of folks, as I mentioned earlier, they've got a lot of priorities, a lot of balls in the air, a lot of responsibilities. And is there self-talk that you tell yourself? Are the affirmations that you use to keep yourself on track, that you feed your mind? And if so, do you mind sharing a few of us? And you at home right now, no matter if things are going very, very well, I know you always want things to be better, or if life has hit you right now and you're sitting there like, wow, what does she feed herself to actually get back on track again? Please share.
Yes, absolutely. One of my real powerful ones is, you can't hit a home run sitting in a dugout. And when I first saw that, it just like jumped all over me. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is so true. Like, you really have to step up the bat, you know, and you have to pick up the bat, right? So there are multiple steps that are involved in order for you to knock it out the park. And so that really resonated with me. Another one was, the best way to achieve confidence is to do the thing that you didn't think you could do. And I actually did something like that. And I was like, oh, wow, that's amazing. It's true. It really does work. And I continue to do that. And there are times when I feel like overwhelmed and like I can't do this, or I'm a little bit afraid, or a lot afraid even. And then once I get over those hurdles, I am actually a lot more confident. And then, of course, reminding myself of the purpose and the why I am doing the things that I'm doing, it really does matter. And it just kind of lights the fire up in me again. And whenever I feel like things are getting grim, or I'm getting tired, or whatever, getting discouraged, because there are times when you're going to have that. It's just a part of life, right?
It's certainly a part of life. And you mentioned the three-letter word, why. The big why, by the way. And when you said that, you could see a big smile come on your face. You could see the energy kind of perk up. Talk about why the big why is so important to you, and why we have to have that in front of us. And I know some of you might be saying, Shay, the big why, yeah. It might sound overused. It might sound fundamental, but I believe it's a critical part. And I felt that in your energy when you said, connected to your why. So what is your big why, number one? And why is that so important? I guess I could use another word, but why is that so important?
Right. Well, as I look back over my mom's life in particular, she suffered from several chronic diseases that were preventable. And I was asking myself, like, how is this possible? Heart attacks before the age of 50. I mean, multiple. Having a quadruple heart bypass surgery. Having to have a leg amputated. And we're in the age of digital medicine, personalized medicine. I used to work for a large medical device manufacturer. And I saw firsthand, like, how advanced medicine is. And it's like, but there's a big mismatch, right? And so the fact that my grandmother had diabetes, my grandfather had it, you know, all these things that are a part of my DNA put me at a predisposed risk for some of these things. And I don't want that for my life. And then, of course, my husband, his family has been plagued with some chronic illnesses as well. And he would always, always, you know, be on me about my health and eating processed foods and making sure I work out and all these things, right? And it finally dawned on me. It was like, well, if I don't have these healthy habits now and I don't develop them and get more committed to them, then my daughters would then experience a similar experience that I did with my mom. And that's the last thing I want for my beautiful girls. Lauren and London are their names. And I didn't want that for them as well, because we know that things continue, you know, throughout the generations. And so I wanted it to stop with me, and I want to instill in them healthy habits. And then I want to empower all those around me that grew up in similar situations as I did to know that there is a better way. You can overcome, and you just have to be determined and disciplined and put the intention and action behind whatever it is that you say. I told my husband one time, I was like, oh, I want to be Ciara Fine by the summertime. For those of you who don't know who Ciara is, she is an Atlanta-based R&B artist that can dance and is super fine. Anyways, when I told him that, it's almost like he went into like fifth gear in terms of accountability. And if I miss the gym, or I'm not going for a long period of time, or I'm overindulging in too many sweets, I am definitely a recovering sugar addict. I will be the first to say it. And I mean, he'll just let me know. And it's like, he would even check me on it and challenge me to say, when I say I'm not going to eat all this processed food, I'll buy me a big bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos and just go to town. And, you know, what are those things doing to my body? It may not seem like much now, but as you continue to age, you know, these things do wear on your body. So you have to really take care of your body and treat it as a temple, so that it will be good to you later in the long run, right? Now, one thing that I was committed about was my teeth, but all the other things, it was kind of like, okay, whatever. But, you know, it was like one of those things where I had to just snap out of it and say, you know what, I'm going to get really disciplined about this thing so that I can achieve the results that I want. And he was like, yeah, I don't know why you told me that if that's not what you wanted to do. And I was thinking like, man, you're so hard. And he really is. He's very hard on me. And I have grown to appreciate it over time. Whereas before it was kind of like, who do you think you are? Because I'm definitely all about independent women and pro woman this, but he is really the thing that has kind of like been my backbone and my foundation to really push me forward.
Yeah, my wife says she wants to be Ciara too. I'm all for it. I mean, what do we need to buy? I mean, what, you want a treadmill? No problem. You want another membership? No problem. I'm currently on my third marriage. Don't judge me, by the way. Don't judge me. So thank you.
No judgment, no.
15 years, and I've learned now to say yes to everything. A lot of benefits. She wants Ciara. We all. No, I'm joking. No, this is public. I'm public. I like my wife as is. I love what you said. You know, we have a segment here called Today is My January 1st. And today is my January 1st. For those folks that tune in every night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I know you wait to say those words. Today is my January 1st. Doesn't that feel good? Happy New Year to you. And for all the new folks who tune in for the very first time, we want to welcome you to the Happy Entrepreneur Show. Today is my January 1st is our personal mantra. It represents a fresh start. It represents a do-over. It means our past, no matter how dark and gloomy that is, or how bright and sunny the past no longer equals the future. And so my question for Siobhan on the other side is really two parts. Number one, when you hear that those words, today is my January 1st, what do you hear? And number two, what was a moment you had in your life where there was a setback, things didn't go the way they wanted to do, and how did you bounce back from it?
Ooh, that's a good one. So I would say on my January 1st, I would tell myself, look, we're amputating the fear. And I learned that from my good friend, John Register. Shout out to John. But definitely, I would definitely not be afraid to take the steps to do what it is that I want to do. And a lot of that comes from just the fear of not and lack. And growing up in such a situation where, you know, you didn't really get to eat out, right? If you went to Chick-fil-A for a chicken sandwich, like that was huge. And then in terms of an obstacle that I've overcome, I would say I've been laid off a few times. And that last time, it just hit really different because it came out of nowhere. I was doing really good, just helped the company win a very prestigious award, have been doing great work, was really feeling good about things. And it came at a time when I didn't necessarily feel like my position was on the chopping block. There have been times when I had felt that way. And I was like, you know what? I can't allow anyone else to hold my destiny. I need to be in more control. And I think that having that switch turned off, that corporate, you know, jobs is a stable environment, it just kind of helped me to really see that, okay, I can make my business just as stable. I have to make it work for me. And that's what I've been doing. And so it really feels great. I'm not saying it's easy, but at least I get to make my own schedule. I get to prioritize things like my health. So if I'm feeling overwhelmed and I need to take a, you know, Epsom salt bath in the middle of the day with lavender, then that's my option. I can do that. If I need to break away and go to the gym or just go lay out in a hammock, I now have the option to do that without having to have that guilt and that burden of not showing up for my salaried position, you know, to do all the things or to be on call when they need me to be. Of course, I still am embedded and holden to my clients, but I have it set up such that it works for me, right?
I love it, by the way. That's that. I'm smiling. I'm like, spot on. You're spot on. You know, one of my favorite questions to ask when I have time, and obviously I'm making the time, is what's one of the best pieces of advice you've ever been given? And I'm going to frame it for the audience so the audience is aware. You've had a lot of mentors along this journey, so it's an unfair question. You've watched a lot of videos, so you might have some video mentors. You've read, I don't know, countless books, by the way, and scrolled on Instagram. You already gave us a couple of quotes off of there. But if you had to reach out and grab just one idea and say, Shay, this is one of the best pieces of advice that's ever been given to me that you want to pass to the audience, what would it be and why?
I would say the one piece that was like really eye-opening was the moment when I approached Phyllis Newhouse. I don't know if you know who that is, but she is a pretty big deal. And I heard her speak at a WeBank conference, or it may have been NMSDC. I think it was NMSDC because I hadn't gone to my first WeBank yet. And I was really, you know, skeptical, but she said some things that really resonated with me. And she posed a question to me because I was just really starting out, you know, full time with my business and I was having all kinds of emotions, right? But I have been praying and working on, you know, the mindset of breaking away and trying to figure out how I was going to make an exit. But God knows that I was never going to voluntarily do it because I was too afraid. And so I told her, you know, I was working on some things and I was trying to go after my first contract. And she said, well, why don't you have your first contract? Or like, what are you waiting for? And it's just so matter of factly the way she said the question and posed it to me. It was like, only thing that's stopping you is you. And then I was like, okay, well, let me rethink this whole thing. And as I reflect back, just believing in yourself is like one of the most critical pieces to life, I think, as a whole. And if I could do it all over, the one thing that I would do is believe in myself a lot more sooner and stop making excuses about being too young, not enough experience, not enough this or that, and just realize that anything that's worth having is going to take work. It's not going to just fall into your lap.
Ah, I love it. Thanks so much for sharing. When you're not out saving the world, what do you do for fun? We're just curious.
I love to do all kinds of things for fun. Hanging out with my husband, for one. We
good
definitely
answer.
Love
That's a good answer.
I know, right? And I like to roller skate. I like to swim. I like to do aerobics classes. I like to dance. I like to play, what is it? It's not badminton. I would love to play more badminton. I just don't have access. But squash. No, I haven't. I tried pickleball, but I prefer squash a little bit over pickleball. And maybe it's just I haven't found the right tribe to play with. I like to go bowling. I love to go roller skating. Did I say that yet? Yeah. And I love to spend time with my daughters. The oldest one likes to cook. The youngest one loves to do hair. So just really having that downtime, I think, is something that I really value as well. I love to go for runs. I really love to run. And one of the things that I haven't gotten a chance to do as much of that I would really like to do is, and that is like cycling. So I'll do spin classes, but it's nothing more than the invigoration of being in the outdoors. And I did have an opportunity to go mountain biking in Arizona once. And oh my gosh, it was phenomenal. And I am a car enthusiast as well. So I do love to drive my car. And as my friend Brent would say, I drive efficiently.
I love that, man. And you know, you mentioned a couple of times we come down the home stretch. You mentioned the importance of health. And they obviously are looking there and they see you got future health now there. Take a moment. You talk about your mom. For the persons out there that's listening and it's like, wow, Shay, one, we understand why health is important to her, but I'm someone that has been on track and off track. Not me, by the way. I'm just saying someone's listening right now might be, hey, I've been, life is a series of being on track and off track and on track and off track. And health is so important. What would you say to that person to encourage them just to get back on track? And it doesn't matter if they're 35, 45, 55, or 65. What would be your words? Because you keep talking about the importance of health, and I feel that's certainly one of your passions.
It really is. I would have to say that I was looking at an influencer, Antonique, on Instagram, and I was liking her pictures and things. And one day I came across a post that she put on there. Well, my friend said that she's tired of starting over. So she was like, you need to stop. Like, don't stop then. Stop quitting. And so I would just say, if you make a commitment to yourself that this is important, align it to a reason why it's important. So the one thing for me is I want to be around to see my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. I mean, my great-grandmother lived to be 97 years old, but my mom only lived to be 61. And so there's a huge disparity there. And when I think about the marginal decade of my life, and you never know when that is, that will be a little bit more inspiration, right? So although my great-grandmother lived to 97, she was not very active. So she walked very slow and with a cane. And I've seen some folks on Instagram. Instagram, I don't know about it. I have this love-hate relationship with it. But it does expose you to some things. And then you really don't have any excuse anymore, right? Because you see the 79-year-old women. You see the 60-year-old women who are in tip-top shape. And then you're looking at yourself like, wait a minute. If she can do it, I definitely have to do it. But whatever it is you have to psych your mind up to think or do, I think it's worth it to prioritize your own health. I know one of the things that I do as like a mental competition, because I'm very competitive, is if I'm in a in some sort of group fitness class and there are some younger women or girls in the class, I'm like, I can keep up with them because my motto is I'm forever 21. I don't think about my age ever. And if I have to give it, I'll give you the year I was born so that you can figure it out. But don't talk to me about it because, like I said, I'm forever 21. And if I want to keep that spirit, that vibe, that energy, then I got to do what it takes to keep me there. And a part of that is being able to work out and, you know, stay like agile and be able to do all the things. And so it requires commitment. I mean, even on the days when I don't feel like doing the exercise and or going to the gym, I have to figure out a way. So like if I like to swim and I love to swim, but sometimes I get bored with it, but I figured out how to do the little, like, what is the radio, the digital radio on the back of my goggles where I can hear music. And that changed the whole dynamic. And it's like, I'm looking forward to going swimming because I can go listen to my music while I swim and it doesn't get old. And next thing you know, I look up, it's like an hour and I've been swimming. Now, it won't be that many laps because I don't swim that good. But it's the fact that I'm getting active. I'm out there. And then another thing that I've been doing more recent, well, I guess in the last 3 years or so, is leveraging the smart technology, my iWatch or Apple Watch. I will track my days. And I saw someone recently that had all the rings closed for every day of the month and they posted it. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I need to step my game up. And then I realized, oh my gosh, I will never close my one of the loops. I think it's the standing loop, because as soon as I'm done working out, I would take it off and put it back on the charger. So I had to change my whole little game plan up a little bit so I could wear it more. I don't have it on now, but I'm trying to get into more of a rhythm and routine so that I can close all my loops too. And then I'll have all of my little circles lit up for the whole month. So you just kind of have those friendly competition and things that you just find what motivates you and what drives you. And then that way you'll be able to achieve those goals. And the fact that my husband told me, he was like, you know what? I'm not comparing you to any other woman. I compare you to you. And the you that I met in 1998 that was super fine, I just want you to stay like that. And I'm like, okay, I can do that.
Good answer. Yeah, I love it. Good answer. But I wanted you to talk about that, the importance of it, because as a marathon runner and so forth, five times, and like you, very active, it's important. Okay, it's important. It's important. It's important. It's about as important as finding your purpose, because what good is do you find your purpose and you don't have the health and the energy to enjoy it, or you make the money and you don't have the health and the energy to do the things you really want to do. With that being said, let me give you the final question. We come down to home stretch. Number one, what type of clients are you looking to work with these days, if any? I'm not sure if your firm's taking on any clients. And number two, how can folks best connect with you so they can stay in this conversation over and beyond today?
Oh, wow. Yes, I love to connect. So on all social platforms, I am Siobhan Reed. So it's easy to find me. I also have a podcast, Future Health Now podcast, where I interview thought leaders that have something to say about how we can create generational health and wealth. And I am looking to do any kind of collaborations and partnerships with folks who are mission driven and looking to make an impact in the health space, especially for the next generation. So think about suicide prevention for Gen Z, mental health awareness, actually working with the CDC Foundation right now to promote the Future Health Now campaign to teachers and school staff to really just help to build resiliency and coping skills for preventing burnout, because it's a real thing. I am always wanting to do something with maternal and infant health, opioid prevention. So think about all the things that are related to a pandemic or chronic illness that we need some health communications or awareness all about, because what I say is opioids, optimistic people unify for awareness, and we make healthy behaviors accessible, achievable, and fun.
And fun. She had to add the fun in. Thank you so much for being on the Happy Entrepreneur Show. We really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. This has been great.
And thank you all. Thank you all for tuning in. Without you, there is no show. So we really appreciate you. Appreciate your time. For all the folks that hit the like button, that's pretty cool. That's cool. But what we really like for you to do is hit the share button. We'd like for you to pay this message forward. Bless someone else out there so they can have a better life or a better business. And I never get tired every night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time sharing with you how awesome you are, how incredible you are. I know some of you looking like Sierra, as she was talking about earlier. I get it, how you're so healthy and happy and wise with harmony going on at the same time. And that I believe for you today is your January 1st. And because of just that one reason alone, your best is still yet to come. Doesn't that feel good? Your best is yet to come. Your best is yet to come. With that being said, my name still has the same, Che Brown. It ain't changed. The Happy Entrepreneur. Make it a great day, everyone. And we'll make some good things how we connect again next time. God bless. Thanks a lot, Siobhan. We out of here. Peace.